A playoff edition of Patriots Monday here. Mutt and Callahan, Boomer Esiason, joining us to get set for divisional round of the playoffs that include the L.A. Chargers at Gillette Stadium. Boomer, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Happy New Year. I know we haven't spoken since the end of the season, so I just wanted to wish you and your families the very best. And here we go, the playoffs, and finally a home game again at Gillette Stadium. And this time, Philip Rivers, who's 0-7 against Tom Brady, is coming to the house with who we believe is the best team the Chargers have had since he's been the quarterback.
That's true. But Boomer, everyone, the general consensus is this is the toughest game that could have been played here against the Patriots because the Chargers are good. They're a good, complete team. The Texans would have just rolled over. Do you agree with that? Is this the best game, the biggest challenge that could have Patriots could have had?
I think so. At this juncture, there's no question about it. Those three teams, if you put them all down on paper, certainly they all present interesting issues for the Patriots. But I think you have a team that can run the ball and throw it very well, much like the Indianapolis Colts. You also have a team that has two outstanding pass rushers and a very quick secondary. And there's two all pros on this particular roster. Both happen, to me, both are, outstanding players. And when I think of Derwin James, I think of a playmaker at the secondary spot that can make tackles at the line of scrimmage and also break up passes in the secondary. So I think this is a very good matchup. I think it should be a high scoring matchup. And the pressure for me in this particular game is going to be on the offensive tackles for the Patriots. You know, I go into every game thinking, okay, what's the matchup that has to win in order for my team to win? So if I were Tom Brady, I would be thinking about, and Bill Belichick for that matter, I'd be thinking about how well my two tackles play in this game against two outstanding pass rushers.
Well, Boomer, watching it yesterday, the pressure they got on Lamar Jackson, it feels like it's going to be one of those games where Brady is going to have to get the ball out very quickly, a game where Julian Edelman, James White, those smaller, quicker receivers are going to have to get open because the Chargers defense doesn't let quarterbacks breathe. They were all over the fastest quarterback in football yesterday.
Yeah, but their passing game may be the worst in football. You know, now you're going against a precision-type passing game, and Tom, they'll spread everybody out, and he'll get rid of the football really quickly. They'll try to identify where they believe that they have the advantage in the secondary, and quite frankly, it's a totally different type of game. You know, you could play with seven defensive backs on the field to try to stop Lamar Jackson because he's so fast. Now, I don't think you can really do that. I don't think you could play defense like that against the Patriots because they'll jam Sonny Michel right down your throat, and it will be a totally different type of dynamic. So they were more worried about Lamar Jackson running with the football yesterday than they were with him passing the football. And I thought the nice thing about Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram yesterday is that they did play the run first. In this game, if they don't play the run first, Sonny Michel will probably have about 150 yards rushing. But there's also going to be times where they're going to be asked to make big plays and be those game wreckers that pass rushers can be. So, well, to me, that's the big matchup.
What do you think of the Philip Rivers and Anthony Lynn under pressure? I mean, we know what happens to guys when they come in here in Foxborough against Belichick, against Brady. They shrink. They melt. Are these guys going to melt?
I don't think they'll melt. I actually think this is going to be a really good game. I think this will be a high-scoring game. I believe that in the fourth quarter, the game will be hanging in the balance. Everybody's going to be nervous. It may come down to one of the field goal kickers, but I think both quarterbacks should be able to put up some pretty decent numbers here. I'm not overly impressed with the Patriot defense in a sense that, you know, they're going to put pressure on you like the Baltimore defense does or even like the Charger defense does. It's more of a scheme type of deal. They're 30th in sacks. It's going to be a totally different feel for Philip Rivers. You know, yesterday, and I think Tom Brady would probably echo this sentiment, when you play in Baltimore against a defense that is that active, that does that many things at the line of scrimmage, that tries not only to confuse you, but also blitz you with 5 and 6, 7-man blitzes, you better be on the top of your game. And that's why it was a little bit of a struggle yesterday for the Chargers. I don't necessarily know that type of struggle is going to be had by them, this week in Gillette, just because that's not who the Patriots defense is.
Well, in terms of the team in general, Philip Rivers saying last night that they're weathered, Boomer, right? They went to London. They won all these road games. Forget the pressure. Do you buy into a team? Can they become weathered? Can they become a team that just performs better on the road? Because in some ways, they have this year.
Yeah, well, they don't really have a home. That's why. I mean, you know, they're playing in a 30,000-seat soccer stadium where most of the time the other team has more fans than they do because of all the things that have gone on between them and San Diego and their fan bases and the owners and everything else. So, you know, 8-1 on the road is pretty damn impressive. I don't care what anybody says. And you have to take that for what it's worth. And it's worth a lot because it tells you a lot about Anthony Lynn. It tells you about, you know, his two coordinators who are former head coaches as well. They do have a seasoned team in certain areas with, obviously, Antonio Gates and Philip Rivers. So they have great leadership on this team. But what they also have is they have speed and they have youth. So it's a dynamic football team. A lot of us have felt that they have been one of the top four or five teams in the league all year long. But this is a team that's also had a chance to secure the number one seed and was unable to do it. So there is still a flaw there somewhere. You just got to find it.
It's as good a wild card team as you'll ever see. But Boomer, you were definitive. You know, hemming and hawing for you. At halftime, you said, damn it, time for Flacco. Seen enough Lamar Jackson. Obviously, he brought the team back and, you know, almost pulled it out. But do you think you were do you have any second thoughts on that? Do you think they could have won with Flacco? I was with you, man. I mean, the guy had a zero passer rating at halftime. And he's such a different quarterback. I think it would have thrown the defense for a loop.
Well, I said I would give Lamar Jackson one series in the second half. And that first series, I think there were two sacks on successive plays. And I'm just like, you know, enough's enough already. I mean, you still are the coach for John Harbaugh of the other, you know, 52 guys on the roster. And you are you seeing what I'm seeing? Now, obviously, you could say, well, with the way the game ended up and the way that Lamar had played the last 5 minutes of the game, that, you know, would you take back your thought? And I said, no, not at all. I would not take back my thought because I just felt like maybe the ex-Super Bowl MVP could have that magical moment and maybe he could save their season, you know, maybe like Drew Bledsoe did in Pittsburgh many, many years ago when Tom went down. So I still believe wholeheartedly that Lamar Jackson was in way over his head. Their offense was just awful. I mean, just absolutely god-awful. And, you know, it wasn't until Lamar started running around and it was backyard football where he started making some plays with about 5 minutes to go. So I don't feel any less strongly about the way I felt yesterday at halftime. I still think that Lamar has a long way to go as a passer in this league. And I also thought that the Chargers had a major advantage going into the game, having played them 3 weeks ago. And it showed itself yesterday, especially on defense.
And I was on the opposite side of you guys. I thought it was a good move by Harbaugh to stick with him. He was pressured on 17 of 38 dropbacks. I think,
but you know why,
Joe
though?
Flacco's got those stone feet, Boomer. He would have been buried by that Charger defense.
But, Mutt, the ball would have been out. He would have been reading the defenses down the field. You know, here's where Tom Brady is brilliant. Here's where Drew Brees is brilliant. They know where the rush is coming from. They know when to get rid of it. They know where to throw it. They know how to read defenses. And I'm saying a lot of rookie quarterbacks struggle reading defense, not just Lamar. I mean, even Trubisky last night, there were times where they would get in the red zone and all of a sudden they'd be bogged down because he'd get nervous and he'd be running around and he'd be afraid to, you know, pull the trigger and give his wide receivers a chance to win the football game. So it's natural to have young quarterbacks struggle. There's no question about that. But yesterday, it was like a toothache watching that in the first half. And throughout the third quarter, they were terrible for three quarters of that football team. And a valued, experienced former MVP of the Super Bowl, I'm telling you, could have been a difference. I'm not saying they would have won, but I know their passing game would have been a lot different than it was as it turned out.
And you know, you're right. You think of the other guys; they had to be thinking, enough of this, enough of this, coach. Time for Flacco. I mean, it's not about Lamar Jackson. He'll be back. Hell, you could have put him back in the game. In the fourth quarter.
You know, if you wanted to, right, yeah. But I know coaches don't like to do that, and I understand that there's part of me says, okay, there's a respect factor. You know, where the quarterback got us here, we're going to stay with him. And I get that mindset 100%. But I also get the mindset that when your goalie gives up five or six goals in the first period, he's getting yanked. You know, and there's got to get you got to get the guy out of there because you got to raise the level of everybody else's play. And maybe, just maybe, you catch a little magic. But it also tells me that maybe they're just not in love with Joe Flacco anymore. Maybe they recognize that he's out of there.
I think it's clear. I think Harbaugh said after the game, basically, you know, Joe's going to be a good quarterback somewhere else. Lamar's our guy. And my thinking, Boomer, was, okay, they're sticking with Jackson because Harbaugh is committed to him for next year. But he's got 1 year left in his deal. What are the Ravens doing with John Harbaugh? He seems like one of the best coaches in the league. Why does he not have an extension? Is there a chance he's not in Baltimore next year?
Yeah, there is a chance, and I won't believe that he'll be in Baltimore unless I see a contract extension. Very few coaches ever in the history of this league go into the final year of his contract as a lame duck coach. Now, there are teams out there right now, Miami and the Jets being two of them that will trade for that coach if Baltimore definitely wants to move on from him. The reason that people feel like they're going to move on from him, even though they put out a press release 2 weeks ago saying that he is going to be the coach next year, you know, in that press release, you did not see any comments from John Harbaugh. In that press release that was just totally one-sided by Steve Bisciotti, the owner down there, Ozzie Newsome is stepping down. Eric DaCosta is taking over. There's always that question as to whether or not the coach and the general manager in most other cities, not in New England, most other cities, can they get along? Will the coach be subservient to the general manager? Can they work in collaboration together? Who's got control of the 53-man roster? You know, are the players still listening? What's the future of that team? I think if I'm John Harbaugh and I look at that, now I can't speak for him. I can only speak from where I sit and what I see. I don't necessarily know that the future is all that great in Baltimore because I really don't know about the quarterback situation. But I do know that there are other teams that will give him at least a 6 or 7 year contract at a number north of $10 million to take over their team. So I think you got to put that in the mix as well because he does have some leverage. Now the question is do these other teams that desperately need coaches, will they go after him? I personally think if the Jets could get him, he would be the guy because I know that he can go toe-to-toe with Bill Belichick. This is the division. This is where, you know, I think that he could definitely be successful, especially with a young quarterback.
That would be interesting. And I know you say Lamar Jackson's the guy next year. He's going to last about 3 games the way he plays. Forget the ability to throw or read defenses. I mean, he just runs too much. Boomer, he gets hit too much.
Well, yeah, it doesn't work. You know, Andrew Luck ran too much. He lost the season. Cam Newton, you know, goes down again this year because he's running too much. This is not a league in which the quarterback gets paid to run. It's a league in which the quarterback gets paid to stay in the pocket, deliver the ball accurately, and make the big throws when the game is on the line. So I would just say, yes, there has to be some more maturity. There has to be some more growth. It's not just for him. It's for Trubisky. It's for Watson. Sure. It's for a lot of these young quarterbacks. You know, they have to learn how to win late in the season and, you know, and obviously in the playoffs. And it's a different animal. The game is so intense at this level and the ones that could really come. That's why I'm really looking forward to seeing Pat Mahomes. You know, young guy, he's going to be all jacked up. It's going to be in Kansas City. It's going to be a great atmosphere. And he has done nothing but impress all year this year, and hopefully he can continue to do it against the Colts come Saturday.
We know you're involved. You'll be scripting the first 10 plays by your boy Frank Reich. I'm expecting it to happen because I expect the AFC title game to be back here, and you'll be here. You know, your guy Reich will be here for that one. But can they go into Kansas City and win? Are you confident in your Colts?
I am. Well, they're not my Colts, but I am confident in who they are. And the reason I'm confident would be the same reason why I would feel good about the Chargers is because of the balance that they are now bringing to the game. So they can run it. They can throw it. They pass block. Now, I would say the Colts pass block a lot better than the Chargers do. And I think that's obvious when you watch the team and you watch how much space Andrew Luck has. And there are a couple pass rushers that you have to worry about when you play Kansas City, and you have to obviously deal with the noise. But they dealt with the noise in J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. How did that go this weekend? So they'll be able to handle it. You know, the one thing that I am really impressed is how poised and how in control Andrew Luck seems to be. But if they get shut out in the second half like they did against Houston, they'll get blown out in this game. So they're going to have to play a full 4 quarters offensively.
Boomer, last one for me. Can Nick Foles win a starting job in Philadelphia by going into New Orleans and winning on the road with the Eagles and knocking Carson Wentz, I guess, traded somewhere else if he plays well this weekend?
I really don't see that. I want to be Nick Foles' agent, though, because he's going to get paid by somebody, maybe Jacksonville. You know, there's no question that, man, he has the look. Yeah. He looks like he's so in tune with that offense. The team seems to respond to him. I just can't imagine Philadelphia keeping both him and Carson Wentz at the number that they would have to keep Foles at. So I think they all realized it. At least they did about 4 weeks ago when he had their last home game. And it sounded like it was, you know, an understanding that he was not going to be there next year. So I guess stranger things have happened in football, but I don't see him in a Philadelphia Eagle uniform next year. Well,
your pal Phil Simms said maybe New England last week, and you looked at him and you said, what?
What? That's not New England, not New York, not the Giants. I'm seeing more like Jacksonville or maybe even Denver.
Well, they all need quarterbacks, Boomer. Happy New Year. We enjoy it. We'll talk to you after divisional round this weekend.
All right, guys. Look forward to it. Have a great week.
Thanks.